Welcome back to Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. As we listen back this morning to some of our interviews after the death of Freddie Gray, we also want to revisit how WYPR's The Signal covered the issues days after the riot on April 27th. We're about to hear part of the Out of the Blocks series produced by WYPR's Aaron Henkin with electronic musician Wendell Patrick. And Aaron's here with me. Hi.
Hi, Sheila.
Tell us about Out of the Blocks.
Out of the Blocks. The simplest way to describe it is one city block, 1 hour of radio, everybody's story. The concept, we make it our assignment to meet and interview everybody on one city block in Baltimore, and we cut together all their voices, all their lives, all their stories into 1 hour, and it essentially becomes the story of that entire block.
So what we're about to hear, I mean, a lot of the looting and fires that followed Freddie Gray's funeral April 27th took place in the Penn North neighborhood. How was your approach there and then different from some of the other blocks you visited?
Well, I can explain it this way. Up to this point, there's been about a 2.5 year gap of time between each episode of Out of the Blocks. We turned this Penn North Out of the Blocks around in 4 days, just because of the situation and the timeliness of what was going on there. I just went down there to that block at the intersection of Pennsylvania and North Avenue, where the famous burnt CVS was that the world saw from the helicopter's eye view. And I taped to one side of a clipboard, I taped the words public radio reporter, and to the other side of the clipboard, I taped the words let your voice be heard. And I just wandered up and down the streets in the 3-block radius around that epicenter for a day and just let people come to me. And people had things on their mind, obviously, that they wanted to say.
And that's what some of what we get to hear now. Thank you, Aaron. Thanks.
Thanks for having me, Sheila.
Here's a cut from Aaron Henkin's Out of the Blocks, recorded in Penn North on Wednesday, April 29th.
We got, like, troops out this motherfucker, man. Like, real out this, you hear me? Yo, all for what? I'm T, right here on North and Carrick. This the roughest thing that you can think of right here. This the jungle. This is what we come up in. Like, you gotta be here.
My name is Priscilla. I live in this community.
What do you fear is the worst possible thing that could happen from here?
No conviction, no justice, no trial. And just sit back and wait, world. The best is yet to come. And that's scary and it frightens me. My mom lives in another city and state. And because I live right here in Ground Zero, I did tell her, me and my family, we might have to flee. If it comes to that, like, I'm actually kind of crying here. We might have to flee because of the fear in our community.
I've been watching the helicopters fly around for the last 3 or 4 days. I've been watching the police and the fire engines and all that coming up and down the street. And I haven't been down there because I don't want to be a part of none of that.
Will you tell me your name?
Sean Wiggins.
There's a lot of talk, this theory about this police rough ride, like that might have been, you know, Freddie Gray, and the way he died might have been because of the way they were, like, driving the van crazy. Is that something you guys had heard of before?
Yeah.
Like this police practice?
There's many police paddy wagons, and it's like they take the bumpiest road possible to get you to central booking or the district, wherever they're trying to get, just like they take the bumpiest streets possible. They have seat belts in the back of the vans. I've never been strapped in a seat belt. When I've been in the paddy wagon, I'm actually glad if it's 3 or 4 more people back in there so I won't slide as much. We kind of hold each other in place. You know, but it's very possible that that police ride was bumpy and he got to bumping around in there because he looked like to me he was already injured when he first got in the wagon. It looked like he was dragging his leg. You know, so that very well could have been it.
Man, my name is Johnny Johnson, man. We're right here on North and Fulton, man. It hurt because it's a community, man, and we destroying it. Don't get me wrong, but at the same time, it's just a reaction of the corruption that we deal with on a daily basis, man. And you put a man in a corner, man. You keep putting a man in a corner, and eventually, man, is going to want to react and get out of that corner, man. So. This is just the reaction of the corruption, man. We dealing with it every day, man. Every day, man.
My name is Kelly Jones. North Avenue in Monroe. What my thing is I'm scared of is I have a two-year-old. I don't want him to grow up and think it's okay the behavior that people was doing. I mean, Monday night, it was like a scary movie. Like, my 25 years of living, I never seen nothing like that, looting or anything, fires. I mean, from the CVS getting burnt down, from bars getting burnt down. I mean, it's been ridiculous. And now I gotta contemplate where I'm gonna get my son Pampers from, because mostly all the places been looted.
They stole all my cigarette, the baby formula, and broke the, you see the ATM right there? They took the money from the ATM too. My name is Tina. My source name is Sosta Maki. My address is 2045 West North Avenue. I called the police. They cannot do nothing for me. Nobody will come. No police will come. Come to my small store because my store is small.
And then we saw that one police car and then drive down right there. We tried to stop him and then we need some help, but he not stop. That's not supposed to happen in America, you know?
Tell me where you guys are from.
I'm from China, but right now I feel that America really bad.
I don't know. Yeah.
It's just heartbreaking because now that you did all you did, you don't tore up your neighborhood. Now what? Is Freddie back here? No, he's not. Doing all this disruptors in your neighborhood is not gonna do anything but make all the stereotypes that they say about us in this neighborhood come true. Leonard Shaw, I'm at Norfolk, Pulaski at Cary Hardware. If these cops or the guilty people get off on this, it's telling the youth, the radical youth, that no matter what, they're not gonna get justice, or they can do what they wanna do because they're gonna get in trouble no matter what. And it's gonna be turmoil.
Hi, my name is Ike. We on Fulton Avenue. And my outlook on the whole situation is that if the mayor would do better for her city, then the kids wouldn't go off.
Tell me what you're doing right now and what you're getting ready to do.
I'm ready to clean out this trash can. They got a lot of liquor bottles and trash that we put in there. I'm just ready to put it in this bag.
Let me ask you to just talk a little bit about what you saw, heard, and experienced in this neighborhood, like on Monday night, and what it's been like since.
Monday, it was cars on fire, people running in and out of buildings, people running, a lot of police officers everywhere, running up and down the street. It was just a lot.
What was going through you that night, and as you sort of looked out your front window and saw this happening, like in basically in your, you know, on your own block?
People was taking matters into their own hands because we unheard. Like, people don't hear us. So they hear us now because they tearing up the city. Now they want us to do it in, you know, in a peaceful way. But in a peaceful way, you don't get nowhere sometimes. I don't condone them messing up the city, but I'm glad that they did do something to be heard.
Why do you think this happened? Like, what's the big picture? Why did this go down?
Because the police is killing our young black men and ain't suffering no consequences from killing the men. And then our mayor, she basically is for herself. She's not even for the people, because it shouldn't have to take them to come out here and mess up the city for her to want to come out and say something positive. Then she called us animals. Like, I think somebody else needs to be in office instead of her.
What do you think is going to happen, like, tonight and tomorrow night and, you know, into next week? Is this going to be a regular routine with tear gas and cops and National Guard in the street? What do you see is going to happen next?
I see they calm down a lot, so it shouldn't be no more riots and none of that. But I still think they're going to protest until they get the verdict of what's going to happen with Freddie Gray.
How you doing? My name is Jeffrey Downing. We right here on Pulaski and North Avenue. I actually challenged the mayor and the commissioner. You know, it's a lot of brothers like me and myself. We ex-cons and stuff like that, and it's kind of hard to get employment right now. A lot of us have good ideas. We able, and we're looking for a break to some help so we can get some jobs. And so it won't be this kind of violence and unnecessary anger at those in authority. And I challenge the mayor and those in authority to find some kind of resources for us so we can get the rec centers going. And I have a lot of brothers as myself that would love, to work with the police and the young brothers and all together so we can better the community.
Tell me about what you saw, heard, experienced Monday night. Were you near or around or in the violence?
Actually, I drove through and it was kind of sad. It was really sad to see that everything that I love was being destroyed, But I understand on both sides. There's a lot of anger for the young brothers that see what the world don't see here in Baltimore is that we get it bad from the police. And it's sad that the brother had to die before the world took notice. No, we didn't do it the correct way. We didn't handle it the right way. Some of us did. Most of us did, but some of us didn't, But that's my whole point is that the mayor have to come to guys like us to work with her to help the young brothers in the community so they can see something a little better, And we can teach them. And we don't mind working with the police as long as they're doing the right thing, And we don't mind to help the police, to teach the brothers the right way of living.
Let me ask you a question about whether or not what you've seen and experienced this week has given you the feeling that things are going to change.
Oh, it has to change. Because we can't. I heard somebody say, so we can get back to normalcy. We don't want to get back to normalcy. We want the things to change for the better. I love my city, and I think that if that those in authority will just put more resources here where we at, things will change. It's a great community, and it's a lot of hard brothers like me that want to go to work and support our family and be in our kids' lives and show the younger brothers that and sisters that it's a better way than violence and destroying our neighborhood.
My first name is Lawrence. That's all I'm gonna give to you. I was here in 1968 when the riots came through here from Martin Luther King. I was two blocks up then. I remember it explicitly when the big trucks rolled through and the army and all of those guys were coming through here. After chaos has taken its course, there is a calming, there's a settling, and hopefully we can learn from that.
Baltimore just got to get it together. East, west, south, north, everybody got to get it together at once. Come on. Come on, Baltimore. Wake up. Let's get it together.
That segment about Penn North from Out of the Blocks was produced by Aaron Henkin with electronic musician Wendell Patrick. We have a link to Out of the Blocks at our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. Stay tuned this fall for more episodes of Out of the Blocks. I'm Sheila Cast. Ahead on Maryland Morning, a Baltimore City teacher tells of guiding her students following the unrest. Stay with us on 88.1.